Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
We are back, yes, once again, and no, we are not. We are not sitting in the office at my house, Mike Berlew.
Yeah, I was about to say, something looks different here.
Something's a little different. Berlew, tell the audience where we're at.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, after the wonderful time we had at Media Day at Kalahari Resorts, the great people at Pocono Raceway has invited us back, and we are at Pocono Raceway right now for the ABC Supply Inc. 500.
Woo! We are here and we are very excited.
IndyCar racing.
What the day is going to bring, I don't know. But we are here. We got some drivers lined up to interview. We're going to go try to round up some fans, go see what we can do.
Yeah, let's see what's out there.
And have a great day here. We got our own radio room.
It's
freaking sick, man.
Verbal Shenanigans took over Sirius XM radio.
Yes,
apparently.
when we arrived, Kevin from Pocono, he's like, hold on, guys, you didn't see this. He's like, I wanted to present your room to you. And he literally goes to the Sirius XM room and puts like a piece of paper on top of it and writes Verbal Shenanigans.
Couple post-its.
On it. But we couldn't be happier. I mean, it's tight in here. It's tight.
It's nice.
We are intimate. We got everything kind of set up, nice and clean, and we are ready to go for a good day. Another event here that we just kind of sought it out, and things keep happening, and we're more than thankful to be here.
Very surreal, and getting to the track, and all going to a special trailer. Oh, you're the comedians. All right, signed these paperwork. You know, we're inside of the track where all the drivers are. Haulers are where their RVs are at.
On the way in, we were passing. We're like, we see a bunch of guys in race suits driving little like mopedy kind of thing.
You're great.
Like, I think that was Castroneves there.
Yeah, I saw Hilo Castroneves. I saw Will Power. They're in their full uniform.
You saw Andretti.
Oh yeah, right? Marco Andretti, Snapple car. I saw him going into the garage area. So
we are here. You're talking to a guy who knows not one thing about IndyCar racing, but what I can guarantee you is entertainment of some sort. Either I will look like an idiot or...
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm not that much higher on the Indy scale. I do know the racing. I respect it. I know some of the drivers, but I can't say I know as much as I know my NASCAR knowledge.
Well, we will be here all day bringing you different guests and talking about what's going on, and we couldn't be happier, so stay tuned. All right, Berlew, we are live. We got our first driver here. Why don't you introduce our driver here?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our driver here today has a proud sponsor, the sponsor of the race, the ABC Supply Inc. 500, driver of the Honda AJ Foyt. Again, ABC Supply Company, Inc., Takuma Sato.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
And you are our, let's see, the other day we had our first guest from Canada.
Right.
And where are you from originally?
Come from Japan.
Japan.
But I spent a good time in Canada last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Racing, I guess, or
no, racing
vacation?
Was a couple months ago in Toronto, but it was a vacation because the first time in 2.5 weeks of the break, after the, I don't know, it was a consecutive after weekend right. after the racing. So it was a good time spending in Canada with nature, and yeah, I really enjoyed it.
So tell us a little bit about your story. We don't have a lot of time. So how did you get into racing in Japan and then end up here?
Well, that's a really long story.
Yeah, well,
being a 6 minute. Well,
give us the highlights.
Okay, the highlights.
I like cars, the end.
Importantly, I was a guy really crazy about racing and cars
right.
since mm-hmm. when I was a kid. But just simply, I didn't have any chance, or I never had a chance, because my parents had no idea for the racing.
Mm-hmm.
So although I was cheering and a big fan of racing, I couldn't do anything, unlike any people, maybe young guys and doing a 10 years old and starting karting, stuff like that.
Right.
First time I drove the racing car was when I was 19 and 20 years old.
Okay.
Up until then, I was riding on a competitive bicycle, because our two-wheel was only...
So you were just always into racing some sort.
Yes, okay. Yes, but I just couldn't get into the racing. So I went to the Suzuka Racing School in Japan, which has got the age restriction. You have to be under 20 years old.
Really?
So for me, that was my last chance to get in there, and I got the scholarship. And then I flew to the UK, started my whole racing career over there.
Jeez. That's interesting. It starts pretty early then. What's the average age that people start getting into it?
Usually low teen is the most popular age, but as extreme as 3 years old, 4 years old. Let's talking about Sebastian Vettel or Michael Schumacher, Ayrton Senna, and
right.
here Marco Andretti, and it's also all the driver who have got it's a great shining in ability in top sport. They starting to the sport as a kid. Wow. No question about that. I wanted to do that. I just never had an environment for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, now, you've been in racing for quite a while. I mean, you were in Formula One back in 2001. You came over to Indy. Can you tell us the major differences between the two circuits, how your feelings are between the two?
Well, I mean, first of all, obviously, both look similar. Obviously, an open wheels and very fast car. But, Formula One and IndyCar, the most significant difference is, we have oval racing. Here, Pocono, obviously Indianapolis Motor Speedways, short oval Milwaukee. It's lots of different track as an oval track, where the Formula One is always a circuit Grand Prix. It's always street course and road course, and Formula One car build specifically for that. It's a lighter car, more downforce, more power. So it's going to very quick and sharp in corner.
Right.
But we have a very fast car. Formula One doesn't do over 220 miles per hour either. So
that's it.
It's just a different, the type of the racing. And we have a street course, great street courses, of course, like Long Beach, for example. And we have road coursing as well. And it's just a variety of the track. It's very, very exciting. And especially the Formula One team has to build their own car per team.
Oh.
So it's a very original car. So it's from top end to the bottom. It's a very different, significant difference in the performance. Fundamentally same chassis, two different engine manufacturers right now, Chevrolet and of course and Honda, but the gap between the team is much smaller. That mm-hmm. means from a pole position to the last grid can be within a second, and that means a lot of cross racing, which is great.
That's awesome. So is this are you living a dream come true right now, just seeing the world, racing cars, sponsored, and they're sponsoring the race tomorrow?
Absolutely. This is the one I really dream of. Since when I was 10, which when I was first time seeing a racing over there in Japan, it was a Formula One Grand Prix in Suzuka. And I was 10, and I got a dream from there, and I had to wait another 10 years to get into the car. But I grabbed the chance, and then I'm really appreciate all the support who made me happen, and I certainly feel really happy, and dreams come true, and I still keep on going.
Yeah,
and you get to drive for a legend like AJ Foyt. How's he doing, by the way? I heard he has some kind of staph infection.
Yeah, it was a scary winter last winter. For the big surgery for the bypass. But this year, not bypass. It is a bypass. I mean, there was two different surgery going. So the AJ had. A big winter to go over, but he was very healthy. He was really coming back and strong. But this year again, he has to do surgery for his knees, and So it's a tough winter comes up again, but it seems to be a surgery went really well, and obviously he's a strong man.
Yeah,
tried to obviously come back and strong, and I'm certainly happy to see his motivation is really high.
All right, so we want to play a quick game with you. We're going to call it time trials.
Okay,
we're going to give you rapid fire questions and just tell us the first thing that comes to your mind. We have
right.
1 minute. All right,
okay.
Here we go.
How fast are you driving the highway?
100 within the speed limit.
Do you change your own tires?
Yes.
Do you sing in the shower?
No.
Ever wear your helmet to bed?
No.
Ever been pulled over for speeding?
Yes.
Would you ever consider NASCAR?
Right now it's not.
Oh. How old were you when you started racing?
Please.
How old were you when you started racing?
Oh, yes. I started racing when I was 19.
Funniest thing you heard over the car radio?
Car radio?
Yeah.
Oh, get shit together.
Have you ever been angry waiting in line?
Yeah.
Can you dance better than Helio Castroneves?
Can you dance better than Helio Castroneves?
No way. He's a dance dancer.
Last question, Berlo.
Would you ever teach driver's ed?
Driving school to kids.
Yes.
All right, there we go.
Our first time trial.
Right.
Again, we thank you for your time. We'll promote again. Driving for AJ Foyt, the ABC Supply Company, Inc. Tatsuya. Did I say that right?
Takuma Sato.
Apologies. We thank you again for coming on the podcast. Have a great race. Do well. Get yourself a win today, buddy, for the sponsor.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, Berlo, we are back, and we have a second guest on the show. We have Miss Pippa Mann. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
This is pretty exciting for us. We're just kind of here, kind of seeing what happens in the day, who we can talk to, and it's nice to have you on. Are you excited for this weekend? Is this like a big event for you guys? Or
this is a really big event, and it's really cool to be here at Pocono Raceway as well. We only have 3 500-mile races a year. Obviously, the biggest one of those is the Indianapolis 500,
right.
But effectively, this is the third in the Triple Crown of 500-mile races. So,
wow.
Really cool event to be a part of, one of the fastest tracks on the schedule, and one of the most unique tracks on the schedule,
yep.
too. Not many ovals look like Pocono Raceway.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Now, this year, you've been sharing the seat with other drivers and all. How's that been for you to be like on a part-time schedule racing with Indy?
Well, you know what? I'm actually a driver who's never had the chance to race an IndyCar full-time, so this year I've actually had the most starts I've ever had in a season of IndyCar, thanks to Dale. So it's worked out real well for me this year so far.
So what is it like, you're in a sport dominated by men, and, what is it like being a female in racing? Is it hard to get respect, or is it like something that, people are just, like, floored, like, wow, like... I can't believe she can do this and hang.
So I think the cool thing about IndyCar racing is there have been female drivers going back through so many years,
right.
and some really successful and good female mm-hmm. drivers. So you go out there and you perform, and you have the respect of your fellow drivers. The race car, it's got no idea whether it's a boy or a girl driving
exactly.
it. It just reacts to the inputs you put in there.
Exactly.
But for the fan base, I think it's, for some of them, it's kind of cool.
It's awesome.
I meet with a lot of little girls, and it's really wonderful for them to be able to see that there's a female out there sort of pursuing her dreams. And yeah, okay, but my road hasn't been easy. It's not smooth, and sometimes it's really tough, but... At the same time, I'm here.
That's great.
And that counts for something, or at least I like to think it does.
I'm sorry.
But then you have the other portion of the fan base, and there is a small section, and they would really rather that I think females, drivers in general, went back to the kitchen. I try and avoid those guys as much as possible.
All right, I'll leave the room. I'm sorry.
So when did you get into racing? Like, were you a little, you're young, or was this like...
Yep, I was a little girl. I grew up a race fan.
Okay.
Grew up watching races, and when I was about 11 years old, we moved house, new house, new friends. One mm-hmm. of the new friends' 12-year-old birthday party involved go-karts.
There you go.
And I thought this was the best thing ever. my family now think it was the worst thing ever.
So what is that like as a kid? Like, how do you, like, go from, like, yeah, I really want to do it to actually, like, making it happen?
So the weird thing is I loved racing, but it never even crossed my mind that I could or I would or even that I wanted to until I got to drive a go-kart for the first time. Sorry, excuse me. I just haven't had that background. No one in my family's raced. And so it was just really cool. And my dad started taking me to the local indoor go-kart track. And the guy running the kids club at the local indoor go-kart track pulled my dad aside when we'd been going there for a month or so and was like, hey, you know, your daughter's kind of outgrown this place and she's spending most of our time here sitting in the sin bin for bullying the other kids. You probably want to think about buying her own go-kart and taking her racing properly. And we said, what? What do you mean? People actually own their own go-karts and go racing properly? And he was like, yes, this isn't go-karting properly. And, you know, we had no idea. We were pretty shocked. So I got my first kart of my own for my 13th birthday.
Solid gift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 18 months later, I qualified for the national championships in the class I was in the UK for the first time, which put me in the top 40 kids in that class in the UK at that time. And there were a couple of hundred who tried to qualify, so that was pretty cool.
Right.
And then another 2.5 years after that, I was actually living in Italy as a 17-year-old, racing go-karts semi-professionally at the European and World Championships.
Jeez. On my 13th birthday, I think I got a roller skating party at the rink.
I think I got a card. So you went from the European racing over to Indy Lights and now the IndyCar Series. What do you see is the difference in racing styles from, like, Europe to America?
So this year there's actually a new Indy Lights car, which is really cool, and I'm told is much more European in style. When I drove Indy Lights, it was the older Indy Lights car, and it was a very different car to drive in terms of driving style from the cars I had been racing back home in Europe.
What's, like, the big difference between?
So the big difference is the cars I had been driving in Europe had really powerful brakes and pretty powerful engines for the weight of the cars and pretty decent amounts of downforce. So in the slow corners, you'd brake really, really late and really, really hard, kind of stop the car on its nose, sort of turn it on a sixpence, and then be back on the power really hard, and that was the most efficient way through the corner. With the old Indy Lights cars, again, this doesn't apply to the new Indy Lights cars. The new Indy Lights car, you actually drive like that. But with the old Indy Lights cars, you actually drove it into a slow corner. You'd brake earlier than the car I had been driving. You'd brake more lightly. You'd get off the brakes much sooner. You'd try and carry a higher speed in the middle of the corner, so you'd have to use a lot more steering.
Okay.
And then at the exit of the corner, you'd have to wait a lot longer before you went back to power. But because the car was much heavier relative to the power it had, that was the efficient way to drive that car. And I'll be honest, it took me 2 years to learn it. And that's really how my success came on the ovals first in Indy Lights. And every opportunity I've since had an Indy car has been on the ovals. So I'm a girl who grew up racing road and street courses, and now I get called up to come drive the fast turn left stuff in Indy car.
See, we kind of almost had an Indy car experience on the way here. Berlo here almost drove us into the back of a truck, and we braked hard. And
he was cramping my style, so... I had to get that place, and I need that podium position. You know what I mean? I got to get that top three.
That's not good on the roads, boys. That's not good on the roads.
Yeah, you almost eliminated one.
I tried to explain
it
to the cop. He sounded the same as you. It was very weird.
Where are you from originally?
England.
Yep. I could tell. But we're going to play a little game with you real quick before we get out of here.
Okay.
We've called it time trial. So we're going to ask you a whole bunch of questions that may have to do with racing or just kind of fun things, and just give us the first word that comes to your head.
First word?
Or first thing that comes to your head. We're going to see how many we can get done in 1 minute, all right? And Berlo, here we go.
What's the best James Bond movie?
Casino Royale.
Drake or Meek Mills?
Drake.
Have you cried at a movie?
Yes.
What is the longest book you read?
Probably a Ken Follett book. They're huge.
Does this shirt make me look fat?
No.
Dinosaurs or Vikings?
Dinosaurs.
What's the best dessert?
Chocolate cake.
What color was George Washington's white horse?
White? One would assume.
Oh. This girl's a good one. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, sort of.
Better song, Miley Cyrus' Wrecking Ball or Katy Perry's Firework?
Oh, shoot me now.
That's not an answer, man.
That's a good response.
Finally, one person that you wouldn't want to take a long car ride with.
Wouldn't want to?
Wouldn't.
Mike Berlin.
But I'm so lovable.
Now that last one really has got me stumped.
I don't look fat in my shirt, so.
I don't know. That one really has got me stumped. I'm
all
sorry.
Right, then I'll change it. Dumbest thing that you ate
before a race.
Oh, I know.
I've got an answer for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Some of the people who really don't... No, I would like to take a long car ride with them, actually, because I could... I'm trapped in a car with some of those people. That would be fun for me. Maybe less so for them.
All right. Pippa, thank you so much for coming on, and good luck with the race. And it was a pleasure interviewing you. And
thank you.
And your sponsor is Susan G. Komen
so,
Foundation?
So, actually, this weekend, I'm here racing the Dale Coyne number 18 car.
Okay.
At Indianapolis, and throughout the year, I'm actually partnered with Susan G. Komen. I raise money for them. I work with them. I try and raise awareness for them. We raised around $80,000 for them total this year, partly through an auction before the Indianapolis 500 and partly through a big event we did at the 500 itself. But no, I'm driving the blue and white Dale Coyne racing shirt this weekend. So effectively, Dale Coyne Racing is the car. And yeah, just super happy to be here.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Well, Mike Berlow, we just finished up with Pippa Mann and Takuma Sato.
Not bad so far.
Not bad at all. Both totally. We just had two people from one from England and one from Japan. So
naturally, Verbal Shenanigans is now the international podcast of the year.
Right, we're going global. We're going global. But I was just thinking to myself, interviewing these guys and now even a woman, like they are doing so much more like tough things than I feel very
demasculated,
not very tough. Like these guys are going 220 miles an hour on a track and racing when they're 11 years old, and not me.
My parents wouldn't allow me to use Q-tips, so.
Why is that again?
Because my mom was panicking that anytime you use a Q-tip, her first thought was you're going to poke your eardrum out.
Yeah.
Not even just like jamming it in, just like gently, what are you doing?
Well, I was thinking, I didn't tell the story the other day. I was on vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 3 a.m, and there's a knock on my door, and I'm kind of like, what? Like kind of out of it, falling asleep. And I can knock like, Scott? It was my cousin Amy Kate. She's like, there's a bat in the house. I'm like, what do you want me to do about this?
Full circle, man. Yep, you laughed at me for that bat.
Yeah. It's funny I didn't bring this up. So it's 3 of my female cousins and me. And sure enough, there's a bat flying around the house. So they're like, what do we do? I'm like, I have no idea.
Open a window?
So we all had towels in our hand. And we're like...
Ding, ding, ding.
And like, I'd be like, I felt good going near it, but then as soon as that thing got like a foot away from me, I'd be like, drop the towel. So eventually we like close the doors and I'm like to the one room and they're like, how do we get out? I'm like, I don't know. Let's open the door and see, see if it flies out. But it was so funny. There's 4 of us at 3 a.m. trying to capture this thing with throw a towel on it and it's flying around and all the girls are like, and so was I. So it's funny, my mom comes out, she hears all the noise, and she's like, what's going on? I'm like, Mom, there's a bat. Go back in your room. Go back in your room. So we, then we're fighting with the bat, and finally the bat does fly out. No, mm-hmm. I was picturing, I opened the door, and more bats would fly. And fly.
This was the worst idea ever!
But the funny thing at the end, I go to knock on my mom's door. I'm like, oh, the bat's gone. And she's like, go to bed. I'm like, what? Like, she yelled at me. She, like, totally forgot about the bat. I'm like, well, thanks, Mom. But
come on, man, for God's sakes.
But, yeah, I don't, it's times like that where I don't feel very manly. But, talking to these drivers makes me really feel like I need to do something more extreme in my life.
Yeah, I think we should still ask them for the opportunity to drive their cars to prove our manhoods.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, they only drive it for the race, so it's just going to be sitting there for the rest of the day.
Right. But anyway, we're just checking in. We have a whole bunch of other things coming up. I think we're going to go check out some time trials, some qualifying, right?
Yeah.
Coming up in about an hour. So stay tuned, and hopefully have more drivers to joke around with and learn some things about. See ya. All right, Berlu, we have yet another driver on. Why don't you introduce him to our show here?
Well, right here is a driver of the Chip Ganassi Chevrolet for Comfort Revolution Big Machines Records. Local from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Give it up for Sage Karam here.
How you doing, Sage? Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. Thank you guys for having me.
You're born in Nazareth, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You know where Jesus was born?
Exactly, yeah.
But it's funny, I come out of the bathroom just a second ago, and I'm looking for my buddy Mike here, and I look over, and he's following your dog around over there that has
I'm just a dog guy, you know. Get out of my way, driver. I got to pet the dog. That's the way I am.
He's actually upset we got you and not the dog on the show. Yeah. But
first question, are you a good boy?
Yeah, I'm.
Oh, that was another one. Sorry.
I would say so.
So when did you start racing?
4 years old.
4 years old?
Yeah, I started racing
stroller
go-karts.
Races?
Go-karts. My dad got me a go-kart. Where my house is built in Nazareth now, we actually had like a bulldozer come in and make like a kind of like a dirt track, and that's where I actually turned my first laps of my life, where the house is built over now.
Wow. Now you raced all the way. It started go-karts. Where did it go from there?
Yeah, it started go-karts pretty much at a home, like my hometown track, all the way up until about 8 years old. Then I started racing around the country at 8. Started racing cars at 13, and made my first professional race last year when I was 19.
So you're only 19 years old racing cars. Is this like a dream come true?
Yeah, no, it is. It's amazing. You know, it's ever since I was a little kid, you know, growing up, I always wanted to be an IndyCar driver, and, you know, to get that opportunity at such a young age and then to get it with an amazing team like Chip Ganassi Racing, it's like I said, it's a dream come true. And working with teammates that I used to watch on Sundays, you know, race, you know, sitting on the couch, and don't tell them, you know, because they're kind of old, but, you know, I used to watch them every Sunday, watching with my dad, and, you know, to be working with them now as teammates, it's amazing, and learning from those guys.
Now, what made you interested in open wheel? Being from the U.S., a lot of kids are starting to go into the stock car thing. What drew you to open wheel?
I just think it's the speed and the excitement. I think the racing in IndyCar is better than any other racing in the world, and I think the cars are sexier.
Nice. Now, this is your rookie year. You got your first podium finish this year. How's the year been for you?
It kind of started out rough. You know, I had a crash a week before the season and testing, broke my wrist, so raced like the first few races with broken wrists, and then finally got that healed up. Indy 500 came along and ended up crashing on the first lap with another guy, so, you know, that didn't go as planned. And then from there on, you know, we just started working hard and figuring it out and bringing in some results. You know, got fifth and led my first laps at Fontana, third at Iowa, started third at Milwaukee. You know, and now we're showing good pace here at my home track in Pocono.
That's awesome. All right, Sage, we have 1 minute left with you. We're going to play a little game we call Time Trials here.
Lovely.
Okay, we're just going to give you rapid-fire questions. Okay, some are about racing, some are about anything. And just tell us the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Do you ever push the grocery cart like you're driving?
No, I like to, like, stand on it, you know, like a motorcycle.
I still do that.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing you ever signed?
A boob.
Can you be more specific? Have you ever sat in a heart-shaped hot tub?
I have not, no.
Is rubbing racing?
Rubbing's racing.
Fast and Furious, checkered flag or the garage?
I'll take the checkered flag on the day.
Do you hate the DMV?
What is that, like?
Motor vehicle.
Like the people that, like...
You're going to the motor vehicle, renewing your license, registration.
I don't hate them. I just hope, like, my picture turns out dope.
What's your hidden talent?
I can walk on my hands pretty good.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dumbest thing you ate before a race?
Dumbest thing? Taco Bell. Because that's just not something you want to be eating before you get in the car for 3 hours.
Last question, Berlu.
Mac or PC?
What was that?
Mac or PC?
Back, I guess. Yeah.
Got a computer geek here.
All
right. I have both.
That's okay.
All right, Sage. Thank you so much for coming on, and good luck with the race tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. All right. Well, we just got done with a pretty interesting interview with Mr. Karam over there. He had some interesting response.
He still never answered my first question.
Yeah. Well,
I was very upset.
Yeah. Well, you asked him if he was a good boy.
Yeah. The people need to know.
But anyway, we are joined by Nick. Let me see if I can get this correct. Nick Igdalski.
Perfect.
That's pretty good, right?
Real good.
That's pretty good. I mispronounce everything. But you are the COO of this track here?
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
So, first off, what does that even involve? Like, on a daily basis? Or you have no idea?
Still trying to figure it out myself. No, I just oversee operations of everything from where you put this, where you put that, set up and tear down and everything in between.
I show up one day, I'm like, where's turn four? And they keep looking.
it's the left turn to get into victory lane.
Yeah, we had your a couple weeks ago. You guys invited us out to talk with Trevor Bain, and we had your brother on. And your brother, we could have talked to him for a couple hours. And he was a pretty entertaining guy, and he was talking about how the raceway is, family owned and operated, which I found pretty cool because you think of like. I don't know, you think of like COOs and CEOs, like this kind of corporate-y, kind of stuffy world, and he definitely blew that out of the water real quick.
Yeah, we're kind of going away from the dress codes and a little kind of pushing the PC police off to the side for our operation.
Now, with this weekend being Indy, do you guys have different like kind of setup or procedures when it comes to the different races with NASCAR and Indy and so forth? What's different between these weekends?
Well, this one in particular, it's extremely different because we're doing something that's never been done anywhere in the world before, to our knowledge, and that's when we're running the road course at the same time as the 2.5-mile tri-oval. So there's no other track, to our knowledge, in the world that has the ability to run them at the exact same time. And today is actually the first time in history that it's been done. So the SVRA, we had to set up the interior road course with some barriers and some safety precautions in there so we can run the two tracks at the same time. But it seems to be working out terrific. And the SVRA guys, the vintage guys, are loving it. We got 300 beautiful Shelbys out there on display. And we got it's basically a three-ring circus going on here. We got two racetracks going at the same time and a beautiful car show.
Speaking of Shelbys, when we pulled up, I saw a Shelby taking up two parking spots. What's that all about?
I guess. Which kind
you
of
never
Shelby?
Literally back here. Let down the middle lane in
I'm
two
sorry.
Spots.
I'll try to straighten it out for you.
Take care of that, please. So an event like this, like an event today, it's obviously getting media out, but there's also qualifying going on. And so, like, what does this do for the race, like, in getting interest going? Is it just to kind of get fans in, or is it?
Yeah, so this is the setup. It's really the, I guess you call it the dress rehearsal day. So it gives fans, the diehards, a chance to spend the whole weekend here. It gives them something to do for today. It also gives folks trying to introduce their young ones or new folks to the sport an easy day with not a lot of stress, not a lot of traffic. So, you know, we try to introduce youth and new fans to the sport on a Saturday. And then if they love it, they come back on a Sunday.
Interesting. Would I fit in an Indy car?
Yeah, I think so. There's some big guys out
yeah?
there.
Yeah, because everyone I met is, like, really tiny, and, like, it looks really cramped to begin with.
Yeah, I think Graham's a pretty big guy. He's pretty tall, isn't he?
Graham?
Graham Rahal?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think we met. Is he the one that... I think I saw him on Wikipedia was, like, the tallest guy on...
I think he's second
I know
in,
my IndyCar.
Second in points.
All right, well, have you ever taken your personal vehicle on the track?
Yeah. You guys probably didn't know this, but I actually do some racing on the side myself.
Oh, so really? What do you race?
I've done Grand Am for a couple of years, done ARCA, and I leave on Wednesday to go to Elkhart Lake to run in the SCCA Pro Series.
That's awesome. So did you grow up a race fan, like around racing?
Or? Yeah, I grew up here working summers at the track, and family kept trying to push me away from getting in a car and kind of behind their back and did it my own and kept going from there.
What kind of crowds are we expecting for this weekend? I know there's the vintage car race mm-hmm. coming through, and then we have Indy, obviously. What kind of numbers are you looking at for this weekend?
We're looking in the neighborhood of a decent crowd tomorrow afternoon. We'd be real happy with around 20,000 to 30,000 attendance. I think that's about average what they're seeing these days for a good event. So we'd be happy with something like that.
Awesome. We're going to play a quick game with you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. If my mouse works. We cleverly called it time trials. Okay, so basically we're going to give you some rapid fire questions that may have to do with racing or may have to do with Miley Cyrus. You know, doesn't there's all sorts of questions here.
Oh, good. My pop culture references are awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we asked Pippa Mann before if her favorite song was which a better song was Miley Cyrus' Wrecking Ball or Katy Perry's War, and she just gave us a look and a sound and was like, "Are you kidding me?" But all right, here we go. All right, Burlew, give it to him.
Are you a backseat driver?
Oh, yeah.
What is your guilty pleasure movie?
Super Troopers.
Don't feel bad about it. That's a great movie.
Well, that's where we got a quote.
Yeah.
How do you feel about waiting in long lines?
Hate it.
Can you dance better than Helio Castroneves?
Absolutely not.
Worst accident in or out of the track?
Flipped a go-kart, caught it on fire, broke my ribs and arm.
Oh, that's it?
Not bad. Speed racer, hero or zero?
Zero.
If we made a movie about you, who plays you?
Ooh.
Wow. Oh.
This is a speed thing. Just point it out.
I'm as fast as I can. Good Lord.
You're not
George Clooney.
There you go. That's what you want.
Who's faster, the Flash or Superman?
Superman.
Colonel Mustard did it with the lead pipe in what room?
The library.
Goodfellas or Godfather?
I missed it. Say it again.
Goodfellas or Godfather?
Godfather.
There we go. Wow.
All right, Nick, thank you so much for popping on for a few minutes, and good luck with the event today and tomorrow, and try not to flip any go-karts.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, man. All right, so we just got done with the COO, another let me see if I get it right twice.
Igdowski.
I'm doing pretty good at that. I had a hard time at the NASCAR one. I couldn't get it right, but we have interesting guests on. They are not drivers, I don't think.
I couldn't find their Wikipedia page.
Yeah, we couldn't find any information on them. But
I searched the interns, nothing popped up.
Googled interns of Pocono Raceway. But we are joined by the interns of Pocono Raceway. Can I get your names, ladies?
Sure. My name's Kelly Shannon.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Gabby Coslett.
Kelly and Gabby. So, first off, on a daily basis, why in the world are you interning at Pocono Raceway? What brought you here?
Okay. I'll start it off. This is Gabby speaking, by the way.
This is Gabby.
Well, I'm a big sports person. I grew up in the area, so naturally, when I was looking for sports and PR and media and stuff like that, what better place than the track? You have three huge events every single summer, so it's bringing in people from all over. So I figured this is a good little place.
So you want to get into like sports media and
sports
relation, PR.
Sports PR.
Okay. And how about you?
I go to East Strasburg University, and I also live locally. So when I was brought to attention that there was going to be an intern opening at Pocono Raceway, I jumped on it. I said, you know, that's going to be great for me, doing media relations, doing some marketing, getting some experience, building off of what I already had. And it's really working out for me so far.
Now, you're giving the politically correct answers, but is the secret opportunity to try to meet one of these drivers and have them take you out?
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right. I'm going to read the driver's names down the list. You tell me when to stop. Willpower.
No.
Beautiful eyes.
Yeah, good eyes.
Yeah.
Good
eyes. Helio Castroneves.
We'll dance with him.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Sage Karam.
Yeah, we know Sage. We
I told
Sage.
You.
The best was, you guys can't see it, but the two of them just like looked at each other and nodded and smiled like, Sage.
Let's see here. Justin Wilson.
I don't know.
I don't know him.
Ryan Hunter Ray.
They still have Sage on their mind.
Graham Rahal.
Yeah, he's got a great personality.
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
Funny tweeter.
Funny tweeter.
He is.
Carlos Munoz. Marco Andretti.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Probably
oh.
Well, no. He's from the area. He's local.
Yeah, I see the cheeks. I don't know. I see the cheeks getting red, and they keep looking over their shoulder at Kevin.
Okay, finally, Peepa Man.
But so... Kevin invited us out here. This is our, well, we went to the Kalahari Resort last time to follow Trevor Bayne around. So what's it like working with Kevin? You can tell us the dirt as if he's not over our shoulder.
I work with Kevin every day, so I think I have a little more experience with Kevin than Gabby, but he's an interesting guy. You got to keep up with him. His brain goes real fast.
His brain goes real fast.
Yeah. Does anything come out of it after it goes fast?
Yeah, but you might not be able to understand it. We're on the same wavelength.
I generally don't
understand
most things. So.
Now, have you guys ever gotten to go on the track at all? In a car? Or?
Yeah, not drive ourselves, but yeah, we've been
I drove not fast. Not fast, but I've driven on track before.
Really?
But we were in the pace car together not too long ago.
It's not
which
bad.
Was fun.
Interesting. So let's play a quick game with you. We're going to play a quick game with you. Even though you're not drivers, we're going to give you a little time trial here. And you guys could answer as a team if you'd like, or, you know, or you can think about Sage. It's fine. all right. Oh, let me skip this advertisement here because we're very advanced. It's Charmin.
Favorite toilet paper, Charmin?
I'm a Connell girl.
I don't know what paper towels does Sage use. I'm a fan of those.
Ooh, he's got the vapors.
He's just like the brawny man. Okay, here we go.
Brad Pitt or George Clooney?
Brad Pitt.
Ooh.
Worst headache you ever had?
Kelly.
board meetings.
Best Will Ferrell character?
Ooh.
Buddy Elf.
Buddy the Elf.
Greatest car to own.
I would say Ferrari.
A Ferrari.
Worst subject in school.
Math.
Beavis and Butthead or The Simpsons?
Simpsons.
If this was your last meal on death row, what would it be?
Ooh.
Pizza. Fried chicken.
Dumbest superhero power.
That's true.
That's true.
Super strength would be awesome.
Oh, I can lift this tank. This is so stupid. Dinosaurs or Vikings?
Dinosaurs.
Wow, agreement on dinosaurs.
Oh, very nice. Is Van Halen Van Halen without David Lee Roth?
I think we're too young for that one.
Yep. They're like, Van who? Sage? What?
My grandfather listened to that.
David Lee who? But anyway, girls, I hope you are enjoying your internship and you're getting something out of it. And thanks for popping on the show for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Go to my psychiatrist. I don't know. Triangle scare me now.
All right. We are back again. And we just had Kevin's interns on. And now we have the man himself, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Is it really a thank you, or is it like, oh, Jesus Christ?
No, I wanted to do it.
You did?
Yeah.
Every time you look at the mailbox, you just despise seeing that Verbal Shenanigans name pop up.
Like, no, I just feel bad, because like, you guys were so cool, and I was like, oh, I could put these guys in the back burner every time.
So this time, we're gonna stick them in a room and shove the interns at them. And,
next year, we'll be in the boiler room.
You might get upgraded. That's
awesome. But Kevin, first off, what do you do here?
I don't even know what I do. I think that's the response from everybody.
That seems to be the response from everyone that works here.
So it's a family. It's a family.
Whoa! What are these cars doing here?
There's a race this weekend. What? No, I think the biggest thing is that there's so many family members. Sorry, I got the radio going. So many family members. It's a family run company, so there's so many hats. Everyone jumps in. We're a big team. We're a big family. I mean, granted, I'm not a part of the family. I'm not Nick or Brandon's relatives or anything like that. I just happen to know these guys and got lucky enough to be picked to kind of join their staff. But it's really is. I mean, I'm the director of media relations, but you know, that's a wide variety of stuff. I mean, you name it, communication, it comes from my inbox. It comes from my computer. Luckily, I hire good interns to help me out, so I don't have to do all the work. But yeah, marketing, promotions, PR, we'll jump on and do sales, we'll do advertising, I mean, whatever it takes. I mean, the end game is to put butts in seats, and we all know what we need to do.
Now, like, when there's not like a big event going on here, what kind of sustains the track during the year other than your big monster events?
I mean, we have people on track almost every day. As soon as the snow melts, you know, sometime in like May up here, it you know, or sometimes in June, who knows? I think it has snowed here during a NASCAR race. So whenever the snow melts, we're on track. We have lease events all the time. You know, we don't do a whole lot of marketing towards that. It's actually kind of sells itself. People, you know, these rich people with their clients and their high-end cars, or we have other racing schools that people buy into. You know, we want to put on other events. We have blood drives. The Warrior Dash is actually coming up as well to Pocono Raceway, so like a mud run.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that stuff all happens, and that actually falls under operations. So that's, we talked to Nick before, it falls under his stuff. But for the most part, for the majority of staff, we prepare for three race weekends, which is like putting on three Super Bowls.
Yeah, yeah. So like on an everyday basis, like what is your job? Just kind of you reaching out to different things, or is it like you said, it's something different every day?
The end goal is to constantly build up the media exposure you're trying to do. You're building your brand. Our brand is Pocono Raceway. Our brand is for our sponsor for this weekend, ABC Supply 500. It depends on what it is. But at the end of the day, I'm reaching out to media members, hounding them, basically saying you should come to the race, or do you want to interview this driver, or can I help you out with this? So there's a lot of communication that goes on. I mean, probably over the course of the last week, I would say almost, we're probably averaging for the staff like 3,000 emails a week. There's a lot of emails, communication that are going through, a lot of communication that we have going on. But yeah, I mean, every day is different, but it's still the same because it's the end goal that you're trying to build towards.
Now, with this being like the last big major race of the year, do you guys kind of have like time off, or is it just pretty much the second that ends, get right into ready for 2016?
My phone and my email would not be working for 2 weeks following the IndyCar race.
So when this, like, are you a race fan? Did you try to get specifically into this because you're a race fan, or it just kind of found you?
I saw my first race here when I was 12. I watched 10 laps. I looked at my dad, and I was like, we met a weird dude with a funny hat. And then we watched this race, and I was like, this is the silliest
thing. Wait. Let's go back a second. Met a weird dude with a funny hat?
Richard Petty.
Oh.
I didn't know
that weird dude.
That weird dude. But it's like, you just met
a
legend.
That's a NASCAR guy.
Yes. I even know that one.
Met him and didn't know who he was, and got his autograph, and I was like, okay, whatever. Put it like in my pocket. Like, I didn't know who it was. Saw my first 10 laps. I was like, this is so, they're just turning left, man. And went to college, actually, local, about 35, 45 minutes away from here. At a school called Misericordia University, and became a sport management major. We had some contacts in NASCAR. Went down to Charlotte in 2005, I believe it was. Did an internship with Hendrick Motorsports, which is the big team. Dale Jr., mm-hmm. Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, those guys. And I watched the car because I was in charge of doing tours, so I had to learn the sport. I had to learn it. You had to learn from building a car. I watched the car get built. At the beginning of the summer, towards the end of the summer, Jimmy Johnson went out there and just destroyed the field. And I was like, 5,000 people touched that car. It was the ultimate team sport in my world. So from there, I was hooked.
Yeah.
So and I picked up a Southern accent.
Did you?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. So what? Give me something. Do you get like the Pocono race, like the one a couple weeks ago? How many people does this place hold?
A lot. A lot. It could probably hold up to 120 if we really tried. I mean, back in the heyday when it was at its peak, you know, we would do that. I mean, then you go back to the early 70s with IndyCar. I mean, IndyCar would put 60,000, 70,000 people in here in the 70s. So it's just crazy the way that, you know, sports works. You know, we've been on the rise. Our numbers continue to grow, and we're really hoping our numbers are big for this race tomorrow.
And yeah. Then there's a lot of stuff that also goes on with these race weekends. There's a lot of times there's concerts and different events. What's the craziest thing that you've put on there to like kind of add to an event, would you say?
Craziest thing I ever put on? There's nothing like embarrassing. I don't have any good stories, which is horrible. I mean, I do have stories, but
don't worry, we'll just cut this out of the podcast.
Too much for that. I mean, I personally have passed out in a lawn chair and woken up at 6 a.m. and go, oh my gosh, it's race day. It's happened before. You know, we have fun. I mean, you've met some of our staff. We have a blast. But for the fans, I mean, we'll do all sorts of crazy. We do a hot dog eating contest. Like, we do a Nathan's qualifier for the July 4th. We do it here in June.
Nice.
So we just...
I ate 11 and a half in 10 minutes once.
11 and a half?
Yeah.
I think you would have lost this year. I think the winning was like 63.
Yeah, we just covered a...
Let me do the math. Hold on. He's right.
we just covered a competitive eater. He had to eat 30 hot dogs in 15 minutes, but they're all loaded with different ingredients.
Oh my gosh.
Like one of them was like a Hershey dog. One of them would have like onions, beans, like every...
Like duck sauce.
Chocolate dog?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, marshmallows.
With marshmallows.
Wasabi dog.
I don't know if I would want the meat with it, though. If they did it like it was like a s'more or something in a bun, I'd eat that.
I got to that. That was my half of my lemonade. It wasn't half bad, to be honest. It was better than like duck sauce with the crunchy onions on it.
No.
What people come from all over for these races. What is like one of the craziest tailgate setups you've ever seen?
So sometimes during these NASCAR events, we put on. There's these guys down in Turn 2 that have this compound. I mean, it's got the motorhome has to be like $5 million. And these guys go to 13 races a year, three of which they go to their wives. And they got a full bar. I mean, when I say full bar, I mean it's bigger than some dive bars that I visit in the area. This place is massive. It has a whole upper deck. It's all decked out. They got disco balls. I mean, the fire pit's the size of the room we're in, which is not very big. It's massive, and their golf cart looks like a Mercedes Benz.
Jeez.
So that's one of the craziest ones I've ever seen, and it's here every year.
Interesting. So have you since doing this? Have you got into racing yourself at all?
I have. I mean, I'm definitely passionate about the sport, you know, and wanting to grow motorsports in general. You know, my friends still think I'm crazy and a little redneck for doing it, even though I'm from Long Island. I could be redneck and be from Long Island. Oh, it happens.
I'm from PA. They keep on calling me Southern.
Yeah, see?
Well, you have a Southern accent somehow, but you grew up in Jersey.
Do you want me to say my joke from
stand-up? No, please no.
the audience says the same thing.
Oh, man, this is why you're doing a podcast. I'm talking a race.
Can we take a minute?
No, we're... I forgot what your question was.
Do you race now?
No, I don't race. I personally don't race, but I do enjoy the sport. I do definitely enjoy the speed. I enjoy what goes into it. I enjoy the strategy that goes into it. There's a lot of things that a casual fan doesn't necessarily understand, which I've been blessed to learn, and I have a lot of friends in the sport. So it's good when I see my friends do well. It's good when I get to see my friends, even though sometimes it's only three times a year, you know,
right,
when they come up here. But it's good to see people that I haven't seen in a while.
I'm still thinking Verbal Shenanigans stand-up comedy tent.
Yeah,
I think so. I think I've talked to Ben about
it. I still say the front stretch.
Absolutely.
I think I can handle it.
Entertainment?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah. You said 120. You might want to build a couple more. Couple more. I'm getting there. I got a solid 5 minutes.
Before we give you a little rapid fire here, you have treated us extremely well at both of these events. Why give like a little podcast, you know, two guys in an office doing things, trying to be creative? Why give us a chance to be here? What does that do for you guys?
We have rules and restrictions on stuff, you know, obviously, but we've kind of done a lot of media outreach, and we see the trend in general. And I'm going to give you a technical answer, and then I'll give you the true answer. But the technical answer is, you know, new media it's out there, and unfortunately we were behind the times on it.
Right.
So for the last couple of years we started getting this trend. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a podcast that has 10 listeners or somebody like you guys, where I've seen, you know, some of your numbers soar up to,
yep,
you know, above 5,000. So,
yep,
you know, it's great. And when I started, when you guys first reached out, I know you guys reached out on a whim, and I heard, you know, listen to your last podcast, and it went great. I started listening to what you guys did, and I was like, these guys are kind of funny. They're kind of in the same boat we are. Us being an independent racetrack, we're good with taking chances, and you know, it's sink or swim, and
yep,
you guys swam just fine. So
awesome.
We definitely want to build this relationship up more, and I just appreciate you guys coming out. It's been a fun partnership so far, and
I'm
really hoping to grow it for 2016.
You have made this guy's dream come true.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You've made it come true.
Yeah, I saw a dog today. It was amazing.
That was
big.
That was the weirdest thing. Come out of the bathroom, there's like a famous driver here. There's people walking around, and he's like staring at the dog, like, come here, dog. Come here, boy. But, all right. Time trials. Here we go. Now, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, you better be.
I'm ready. I don't know what the way you said you better be. Like, I feel like I'm
You're being threatened.
Okay.
Security? Yes, you know what's funny? When we got here today, like we were looking for the radio room, and we went into that door that's labeled like radio room, and I'm like, this is probably not the same kind of radio.
No, your radio room's inside the media.
They looked at me like I was crazy when I walked through the door. Anyway, ready, Berlu?
Let's give it a shot.
Here we go.
Better song, Miley Cyrus' Wrecking Ball or Katy Perry's Firework?
Fireworks.
Best racing actor?
Can't remember his name. Kenny Rogers.
Okay. Journey or Foreigner?
Both, because I went to a concert and I don't remember either.
Mild or hot sauce?
Neither. I don't like spicy stuff.
Boo.
What was Abraham Lincoln's log cabin made out of?
This is the Three Little Pig story? Straw.
Logs, man. Logs.
Straw. And the
big, you heard the man.
And the big bad wolf blew death.
If he's bringing us back in 2016, it's straw, dude.
Straw. Idiot.
Did we land on the moon?
I don't think we did in this room, but we have it as a nation.
Most awkward date you were on?
Before the date was over, I was on our health insurance and we were married.
Can I borrow some sugar?
There's some outside in our media center.
All right. Could you beat Scott in an arm wrestling match?
Don't want to try. I like him.
Okay, finally, Team Jacob or Team Edward?
I don't watch that.
Are you more of a werewolf or a vampire guy?
I'm from the knees.
Anyway, Kevin.
I plead the fifth on that.
Kevin, thanks for having us out so much, and it's been a great day so far, and we're going to continue to wrangle people and see what we get going today.
Hopefully you guys get some fans. Definitely fans are fun to talk to.
Yeah, we're going to try to get some, and thanks a lot, and like I said, we hope to keep this going and build this up over the year.
Appreciate it, guys. Can't wait to listen to this.
Absolutely. All right, Berlu, we are back after kind of a long break. I guess the trials are over.
Yeah, there was a little delay. There was a wreck out there. They had to fix the catch can, but some great action out there. Those guys are just flying through there. It was
only like 220 miles an hour. That's
yeah, I was hoping for 250, but I'll settle.
But we picked up a fan on the side of the road here. Chris Anderson, right?
Hoodwinked. Yes, yeah. Chris Anderson.
Chris Anderson. So you are, I asked you out in the, I guess, over by the garages, if you're a big race fan.
Absolutely.
And you said gigantic IndyCar,
yes.
Race. IndyCar.
Yeah.
So what brings you out to Pocono today?
Actually, you guys are going to love this. My company that I work for paved the track here.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah. So did you have anything to do with that?
I'm a huge IndyCar fan. It just happenstance. That was about 3 years ago. And, I've been coming ever since.
And so what is it about IndyCar that you love as opposed to NASCAR or...
Oh, no NASCAR. No, I am anti-NASCAR. Not for any real reason, just that I think legitimate racing is actually open wheel.
Okay. And so what's the event been like today? How's it? You guys having a good time? It's been beautiful weather.
Yeah, loved it. It's been really good. Family's come up. We've had a good time.
So who's your favorite driver?
Favorite driver?
Or one you root for?
Well, I would have to... Hinchcliffe is... that's a family thing. But I'm a Joseph Newgarden fan.
All right. And so, like, were those your kids that...
Yes,
you?
They were my... Yes,
they were.
My
they children. Still are.
Yeah, I can't get rid of them as hard as I try. They're still mine.
So, are the boys race fans, or...?
Absolutely. Well, they've been brought up race fans, yeah. 6 and 11, yes.
Okay. Now, like, I get, you know, with, like, TV coverage and stuff like that, it's much easier than it was when we were younger to watch, you know, races and coverage all the time and get access to them on the internet. And
sure.
You really become...
the kart days, everything was on ABC, but, we watch everything. We go to at least 3 races a year. We go to Mid-Ohio. This is our 13th year going to Mid-Ohio. It's just a great time. We love it, and,
Awesome.
Any dream tracks that you'd love to go to that you haven't gone
to
yet?
Supposedly next year on the schedule is Elkhart Lake. I would love to go there. It's a little bit longer drive. Our scope, you know, we go to Mid-Ohio every year, like I said. It's about 8 hours, but Elkhart Lake is it's definitely a stone's throw further, but I'd love to go there. That's a beautiful track, 4 miles. It'd be great. But, Yeah, we'll see. Supposedly Boston next year. That's something that's going to be in our wheelhouse, so we'll see.
Are you more of an oval or a road course kind of person or Grand Prix when it comes to...
I like everything. I believe in the kart philosophy, the IndyCar philosophy, you know? You want to be an IndyCar champion, you win on road courses, ovals, street courses. You got to be the best of everything.
You ever dabble in racing yourself at all?
Not legally.
Okay, there might be a story there.
Yeah.
It was a wild night.
Yeah, my father had his Corvette, and we just sold it. So we'll end
that. Gotcha. Well, anyway, Chris, thanks for popping on with us for a few minutes. We'll let you get back to your kids, even though, you know, you said you're trying to avoid.
Oh, yeah, question for you.
Fire away.
Now, you're saying you're a Joseph Newgarden fan. Have you heard his karaoke before?
You know what? I have not. Is it good? I mean, what kind of stuff are we talking about? Is it disco? I might have to disband.
He's doing Don't Stop Believing.
That's Journey. Journey. That's good.
That's a great one.
Yeah, Journey. There's no problem with Journey. Chicks love Journey.
They do.
They do.
Journey stays wedding relevant, too.
They're
like,
relevant
every wedding.
Every phase.
You know.
See that? That's a quality driver. Ah, there you go. Wow, that's...
The midnight train going anywhere.
Yeah, that's awful, but that is great and awful.
And he dances around the audience, too.
But yes. I think karaoke's only awesome when it's awful. That's the fun of it.
That is the joy.
But anyway, Chris, thanks for popping on with us for a few minutes. And enjoy the rest of the day. And you coming out tomorrow, too?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be here all day.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, Berlo, we are back again.
Yep.
And I guess final practice is coming up soon?
Yeah, there's been a little delay with the accident that happened earlier. It's going to be starting at around 6:15. It's about an hour away. So,
So we went for a new demographic here. We just interviewed a father of kids, but now we have one of the kids actually here. Dylan, welcome to the show, man.
Hi.
You could talk right in this microphone, buddy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. So you're a big fan of racing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that? What do you love about it?
People passing each other. People crashing. And
it's a pretty good answer. People crashing, people passing, the speed.
Yeah.
Right. So, what did Dad get you into racing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who got you into it.
Uh-huh.
Is this your first time here?
No.
How long you been coming here?
Last year, two.
Okay.
So, who's your favorite driver? You have one that you root for?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Will Power.
I think we just saw him before.
We just saw
him
in the media center, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I bet you that you know 10 times, maybe 100 times more than me about IndyCar racing. I know nothing. In fact, I had to be told what an IndyCar was on the way here.
Well, let's ask you, Scott, what is the sponsor of Will Power?
Help me out.
Verizon.
Verizon.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I don't know how
I
you
had
got
help.
That. And what's the number of his car?
Number one.
You're pretty good, Scott. I mean, you've been fibbing about this stuff, man.
What else we got?
Name one of his teammates.
Simon Pagenaud.
What he said.
Well, I'll give it to you. All right.
But why don't we bring Dad on for a second? You can just lean on over here.
Sure.
And Dad, your name is Doug, right?
Doug, right.
Doug. So what do you get at it? So you've been a race fan for a long time, I assume?
Yeah. First race I ever went to was Indianapolis in 1977 when I was a little boy.
Wow. And that's in the prime of Indy, you know. What kind of experience was that? How was the crowd?
Oh, it was amazing. It was just so many people. It was just wall-to-wall people. Unfortunately, as a little boy, my favorite driver was Gordon Johncock. He didn't win that race. He almost won that race, but instead somebody by the name of A.J. Foyt won his fourth race.
Did he ever amount to anything, this Foyt person?
This Foyt person you speak of?
Yes, he certainly did.
So what does it mean to you to take your son now to races like this?
It's awesome. I want him to find his passion. If it happens to be racing, that's fine. If it's something else, that's fine, too. Unfortunately, he likes this sport called baseball. I just don't understand it.
Met fan? You are? Yes. Yes.
All right. You're going to have to teach your kid a little bit more about some stuff. Okay.
This coming from a Philly fan. Just ignore him.
Phillies are good, right?
No.
What? Scott, cut off his mic.
But
who did the Phillies just lose?
Nope. What?
Didn't they just trade a player away?
Yeah, Chase
Utley. Yeah, he was a great guy, man. Yep. I'm going to miss him.
That's right. The Mets are five games in first, five games with about 42 to go, so you know we're going to blow that somehow
it's
in the end.
It's a fad.
Actually, the first race Dylan ever went to was when he was was in 2011 to the Indianapolis 500, where he got to meet Dan Weldon before he died and actually had a little mini helmet signed by Dan Weldon and a picture with my wife. He was a great guy, and the sport will certainly miss him.
Yeah, that was such a shame. You know, it's such a great driver, and just how it just happened right away. What's your thoughts on the safety of IndyCar right now?
I mean, compared to where it was, I mean, it's night and day difference. I mean, the Weldon crash was a fluke, and even in NASCAR now, you see a lot of the safer barriers that came from Indy and the Hans device that IndyCar drivers wear, they all carried over into NASCAR to help make NASCAR safe.
Exactly the same thing with stemming from Dale Earnhardt and his tragedy.
Exactly.
So do you race at all yourself, any kind of racing? Or
When I was younger, I did a little SCCA racing up in Lime Rock, Connecticut, but nothing exciting. Mm. It's just take the old Porsche up and tool around a racetrack.
Yeah. What about you, Dylan?
About Porsche. Nothing.
You going to try any racing anytime soon?
What about go-karts?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never raced anything. I raced those go-karts last year, the ones that are like, like 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I came in third place. Not bad.
That's a podium position right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. But so what did you guys think about your time here today at Pocono?
It was fun and exciting when Charlie Kimball crashed.
Yeah, and thankfully he's all right. And So what did you? What was your best part? What was the best part about today? Did you get to meet anybody?
Yeah.
Who?
Sage Karam.
Oh, we met him too.
Dario Franchitti.
Wow.
And James Hinchcliffe.
Not a bad day, man. Not a bad day.
Really cool.
So, are you guys coming back out tomorrow for the race, or?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Awesome.
All right, so we want to thank the two of you, and it's really cool to see a father son come out. And how old are you?
Eight.
And your first race was in 2011?
Yep.
Wow. So he was like four?
Yep. Get him young.
Exactly.
But anyway, thanks. And enjoy the rest of your time here. And hopefully Will Power wins for you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take
not
care.
Not the Mets.
All right. We are back yet again. And we are nearing the end of the night here.
It's been a long day. Very fun day.
Yeah, very different. Okay, it's something I have no experience with, so it's really nice to, kind of see some of the things that go into IndyCar driving, even just seeing the media side of things and talking to some photographers and stuff just right now, and they were talking about, taking photos during that wreck that happened. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing, hanging out in the pits, looking at everything they have set up, watching them take off, watching them zoom by here like it's nothing. We saw the tail end of Charlie Kimball hitting the wall, and kind of interesting watching them reconstruct the catch fence up there, try to get everything going. So,
yeah, so quite an eventful day at Pocono Raceway again, working with the the guys from Pocono. So I can't thank Kevin and his staff enough, and Brad and Nick and all the guys who make Pocono Raceway seem like a pretty cool place to come watch a race.
They do a hell of a job, man. I mean, they're running around, and Kevin, man, we can't thank him enough because he was so polite. He kept on trying to get us new drivers. We're going to have a couple more, but again, with the Charlie Kimball incident, since it pushed back final practice, all the guys are at their trailers talking over stuff, so understandably, they're probably not going to be available.
Absolutely, but we got to come out, talk to some fans, see some cars, talk to some drivers, and overall, one hell of an experience.
Yeah, so. And I have a new respect for IndyCar racing. It's not like I didn't have respect for it, but it's kind of like, now I'm a little more interested. Probably going to watch the race tomorrow, see how it comes out. And
definitely.
So, who knows? Maybe another sport for me.
There you go. All right. So I think we're going to end it here with, I think you got one more time trial.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready.
You ready?
I am ready. Okay. Here we go.
Best concert you went to.
Foo Fighters, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
How much wood can a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
A whole buttload of wood.
Mustard or ketchup?
Mustard all day, baby.
Favorite cartoon character?
Wacko from Animaniacs.
How much would you tip on a $22 bill?
$5.
Biggest fear?
Dentists.
WWE or UFC?
UFC.
Longest you went without sleep?
36 hours.
Who let the dogs out?
Woof, 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 woof.
Do you read on the toilet?
Every day.
Can I get a job holding an umbrella for you? That was really meant for a driver.
Well, you can surely do that if you'd like.
Ooh.
I have fair skin.
And finally, can you imitate a duck?
Quack, quack.
Scott, your time trial is over.
Wah, wah.
That's more like the penguin.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. All right, people. Another great day for this podcast and for us. And it's very interesting to see where this little thing has taken us and the ride we're going on. And stay tuned for more announcements, more guests, hopefully more live events. And I think I'm going to sign off here.
Yeah, well, thank you all at Indy and Pocono. It's a great experience. I hope we're back here in 2016. NASCAR, IndyCar, concerts, camping.
Comedy. Maybe I'll drive one of the cars in the race. Maybe like I'll be the 41st NASCAR.
Well, I mean, final practice starts in like 15 minutes. Yeah. We can run out there.
Can I use your car?
Yeah,
you drove,
not?
So. all right, people. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Are you a good boy, Scott?